brought the family Bible. I don't know how long this will be, but because God is still kind of unraveling or revealing what I'm going to share tonight. It's not just a changing of seasons, but we're transitioning ages. Okay? And so I'm gonna go through some scriptures and I'm gonna show you. So tonight we're gonna define what an age is. Okay? So I'm speaking, I'm declaring it, and I'm speaking I'm just declaring it. That we are in a time of transitioning from age to age, that one age is ending and another age is beginning. Okay? So it's not just a new season because there's always seasons, right? There's always times and seasons, but within those times and seasons, or rather those times and seasons and generations are encapsulated in what we would call ages. Okay? So an age is not just an eternal thing. An age is something of time that is measured by time. I don't have a number for you as far as how many generations it might be. I'm going to show you some scriptures that will allude to, you know, a certain number of generations that you might be able to call an age. But the bottom line is that we are transitioning from one age to another. And I've heard some people call it the end of the church age, the beginning of the kingdom age. I don't know. I don't have a title other than I just know by the Spirit that we're transitioning from age to age, that one age is ending and another age is beginning. So, Father, I just bless this word, Father, that it would go forth. And just thank you, Father, for revealing the truth, for your word being revealed, Father, for everything that you have for us to know and to understand, Father, to discern the times and seasons that we're living in, Father, to discern the generation that we're in, and Father, the things that you have for us to see and to know and to understand, Father, I just ask tonight, Father, that these words, the truth, would begin to open up for each and every one of us, Father, as this word goes forth. And, Father, for our minds to begin to open up and to see what we haven't seen and to hear what we haven't heard. And, Father, for the truth to come and set us free. Father, every good thing that this word is intended to do, Father, let it go forth tonight in Jesus' name. So one thing I want to do is real quick, I want to define the word age for us, okay? It's a Greek word in the New Testament, and I'm not a Greek scholar, so phonetically it's aheon. I don't know if it's eon, if it's the same word, I'm not sure, but the Greek word phonetically is aheon, so I don't know if I'm saying it right or not. But the Strong's number is 165, for those of you that care to go look it up and want to look at it more. But one of the definitions, the thing is, a lot of times in Scripture, this word gets used for both. It gets used for a period of time, and it gets used to define eternity, something eternal. So the word is interchangeable in the Scripture, okay? A lot of times when you see at the end of a scripture where it says forever and ever, that's the word that's being used, is this word eon or aheon or however you want to say it. Strong's number 165. So some of the ways, these are the words that it's translated as: age, ages, ancient time, beginning of time, course, eternal, eternity, ever, forever, forever and ever, forevermore, long ago, never, old, time, world, and worlds. I'm already confused. Because, I'm sure most of us now, when we think of the word worlds, I don't know where your mind goes, but my mind goes into outer space. When I hear the word worlds, I instantly click into galactic mode, and I'm thinking about galaxies and beyond the stars and all that stuff. That's where my mind goes. So those are the words. So those are some of the English words that we would read in the translations. Okay. The scripture, God just—he kind of prompted me to read Ephesians 2. Is kind of how this began. And it's Ephesians 2. We can start at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. And then the next verse that I read, that kind of where he gave me the aha, let me find it, is in Ephesians 3. Verse 9, I'll back up to verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ. So the thing that jumped off the page at me was that I realized that the ages that he's talking about are generations, okay? It's not eternity. He's not talking about eternity. He's talking about a certain number. You know, there's nothing. I'll get to the scripture in a few minutes where I can kind of show you what some of the ideas that I have. If you wanted to try and define an age by generations, like the number of generations, you know, God hasn't been real clear about that. But it's just something that you can see, the pattern that you can see in scripture. But what the biggest thing of what I saw when I began to read connect those scriptures and read those scriptures was the simple fact that he is referring to generations past, times past, that the mystery of Christ has been hidden in those generations past, but now the mystery of Christ has been revealed, and in the times to come, the ages to come, the generations to come, he's going to exceedingly show his riches in grace. Okay? Right? So measure upon measure, wave after wave, truth, you know, he's little by little revealing more and more of that grace and those exceedingly abundant riches that have been stored up, that are in, you know, the glory, that verse. Okay? So let me read. For those of you that are Bible translation junkies, this is a WEIST. It's called a WEIST New Testament. It's what they call an expanded translation. He was a Greek scholar, I think, at Moody Bible Institute. And this other one that I have here, this big one, is by a guy named Joseph Bryant Rotherham from the late 1800s. He was a Greek and Hebrew scholar, and he has kind of the same thing, an expanded translation. And I'm going to read some of these scriptures from there to help see it in a different manner, in a different light. Let's see. But God, being wealthy in the sphere of mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, and we being dead with respect to our trespasses, made us alive together with the Christ. By grace have you been saved, completely in past time, with the present result that you are in a state of salvation which persists through present time, and raised us with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, in order that he might exhibit for his own glory in the ages that will pile themselves one upon another in continuous succession, the surpassing wealth of his grace and kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I like that one. Huh? This was the Weiss translation, and it was Ephesians, the verse in Ephesians 2. So this is the Rotherham version. Ephesians 2:7. I'm going to back up. But God, being rich in mercy by reason of the great love wherewith he loved us, although we were dead by our offenses, gave us life together with the Christ. By favor you have been saved, or by grace, and raised us up together and seated us together in the heavenlies in Christ, that he might point out in the oncoming ages the surpassing riches of his favor and graciousness upon us in Christ Jesus. So part of where I'm going with this is, it says there that in the ages to come, he will reveal. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness. Now, if we back up and read that we've been seated with Christ in the heavenly places, okay, that's part of that verse. So it's like, so part of the age, part of the revelation, part of the thing that God is doing now is he's been revealing to us what it means to sit in those heavenly places, okay? And the word that God gave me back in 2010, you've heard me say it before, but this would be part of this, you know, it's definitely connected to this message, is he spoke to me in 2010. He said, "Behold, a new day is dawning in the earth, and my sons are waking up to ascend into my hill, to receive their inheritance, to occupy the land, so that the restoration of all things can take place." Okay? So it's the dawning of a new day. It's the dawning of a new age. And part of that dawning, part of that that new age that we're coming into, the generations that we're coming into, is the revelation that God is releasing about sonship. Because the whole thing, if you want to call it the end of the church age and the beginning of the kingdom age, I mean, that'll preach a lot more clearly, because the kingdom age is definitely going to involve understanding what it means to be a son in the kingdom of heaven, because that's what we are as sons. And the other part of that is the message that the eternal life message that's coming. I'm telling you right now, in the days to come, there's going to be a message, a revelation, a truth that'll be released. It's already been released, and it's being released, about the eternal life, that we've been given life now, that we don't have to die. That whole message is coming forth. It's part of the age that we're entering into. So I'm just telling you right now, that's one of the truths that God is releasing and restoring into the earth in the days to come. And there's already been some forerunners that have gone ahead and have plowed this ground and have dealt with the accusation and the judgment and all the stuff that comes with that whole forerunning thing of releasing something new and something that God is restoring into the body. So Colossians, I'm just going to go through these scriptures, the ones that I have highlighted, and then I'm just going to just start flowing with whatever God's going to stir up in me. So Colossians 1:26, in the New King James, it says, I'm going to start at verse 24. It says, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints." Okay? So this is the Rothersham. And the cool thing about this, the Rotherham translation, is this Greek word, the majority of the time, he always translates it as the word age. Okay? So it's very clear. You know which word that he's referring to whenever you're reading. So verse 24 in this version. Now am I rejoicing in the sufferings on your behalf, and am filling up the things that lack of the tribulations of the Christ in my flesh, in behalf of his body, which is the assembly of which I have become a minister, according to the administration of God, which hath been given unto me toward you to fill up the word of God, the mystery which had been hidden away from the ages and from the generations, but now hath been made manifest unto his saints. Okay? And that mystery is Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the verse 27. I'll go ahead and finish. Unto him God hath been pleased to make known what is the glorious wealth of this mystery among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then the next one is Ephesians 3:11. That's the one that I read. It's verse 10 as well. Or I'm sorry, verse 9. But I'll go all the way down to 11. I'll start at verse 8. Ephesians 3, verse 8. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ Jesus, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So this is the Rotherham. Ephesians 3. Okay, verse 9. And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which had been hidden away from the ages in God, who did all things create, in order that now unto the principalities and the authorities in the heavenlies might be made known through means of the assembly, the manifold wisdom of God, according to a plan of the ages, which he made in the anointed Jesus our Lord, in whom we have our freedom of speech and introduction with assurance through the faith of him. According to a plan of the ages. So an age. The one thing that I was seeing in Scripture, when you get to the end of the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew, it says there's 14 generations from Abraham to David, from David to Babylon, and from Babylon to Messiah. I think that's how the Scripture goes. But it's there in Matthew chapter 1. And I've been pondering this for a while, and I've been looking for this for a while. And because I was suspicious, because when God spoke to Abraham, what did he say? He said, your descendants are going to be held captive for 400 years, right? And then they're going to go free. Okay? He said 400 years in the word that he gave Abraham, but in the Scripture it says like 432 years. Okay? So without getting real technical or kind of, you know, I'm just going to say that for right now, an age to me is somewhere between 10 and 14 generations, which would be somewhere between 400 to 450 years, because there's always going to be a transitional time between those generations. You know, when that word comes to pass, then that word has been fulfilled. So now there's going to be a time of transition, and God is going to speak again for that next age, for that next thing that he's going to do. Okay? And the other thing that I'm seeing is at the end of every age, there is a harvest. And if we could go back, if history was really more clear, especially from the 1300s to the height of the Dark Ages is where history gets a little kind of, it's not very well recorded. So, but I'm very suspect that I believe if we could really look at history, we would see that like about a 450-year cycle of where God is doing something. Then there's about 10 or 14 generations, and then there's a harvest, and then there's something new that's about to happen. Something, he's releasing another word, and he's releasing another commandment or covenant or however you want to define that. But God is about to do something new in this age that's coming, in this next succession of generations that's about to come into the earth. And so, because if you look back, like in the Reformation started somewhere in the early 1500s, okay? But there were already men. There were already like Wycliffe. Wycliffe did the first English Bible back in the 1300s or 1400s. And he was the one that influenced Tyndall, who influenced the writing of the Geneva Bible, which was like 50 years before the King James Version, which was the original Protestant version that was used during the Protestant Reformation, not the King James Bible. It was the Geneva Bible. So if you look at just somewhere around in there, if you want to pick a number, it's been about 400 years. 400 years would put us somewhere in the 1900s. Okay? So then obviously we know about Azusa Street. We know about the awakenings that have happened and the harvest that God has been bringing in souls for probably over the last century or two. And, you know, we keep hearing about we've said it before about the Bob Jones word, the billion soul harvest. And our friend Connie a couple weeks ago, either she heard it or she was seeing it. She might have heard it. I think she heard it from other people that were close friends to Bob Jones, that they were seeing him in the spirit in heaven around the throne, and that he was issuing the decree that now is the time for the billion soul harvest. Okay? So remember, there's always a harvest at the end of the age. Okay? So what I feel like is this transitional place is for about the next 3 or 4 years. And within the next 3 or 4 years, I know that we are, to speak astronomically for a moment, the edge of a black hole is called the event horizon. It's like when you get to a certain place on that black hole, there's like no turning back. You're going in, you know? There's no way. The gravity of that black hole has a hold of you, and you're going into the black hole. So we're really getting close to that event horizon where we begin to see this billion soul harvest begin to crank up in the earth. And it's going to be a global thing. And so I really feel like the next 3 or 4 years, somewhere around from now until 2017 to 2018, is the most significant part of this transition that we're in. And I believe another identifier or another marker of that is if you go and just go and do some research and find out where we're at in the galaxy right now. We're passing through the center of the galaxy right now. That's why the poles are shifting. Okay? And the last time I read, they said it was about a 7 or a 10 year process or a transition. It was going to take about 7 or 10 years to fully pass through the center of the galaxy, which was going to cause the poles to shift. And the last time this happened, I forget, but it was in the, was it tens of thousands? Anybody? No? Anyways, I don't want to get caught up, bogged down with that. But it's been a long time. Okay? So transitioning from age to age. I think a lot of just tonight for this message was just really just to declare it and just that prophetic declaration of just announcing that we're transitioning from one age into another. And I do believe that a lot of the harvest that's coming has already been confirmed to us. I had a dream about a month ago where I was sitting in a field next to a sickle, And Father was just showing me that I was waiting for the time to pick it up and start swinging the sickle. So the time of, for me personally, the time of harvest, there's a time of harvest and it's coming. And then within 2 or 3 weeks after that, we were in here worshiping one night, and Virginia saw the harvesting angels come through the gate and take their place. So the harvesting angels are waiting. So I just know we're still in a place of waiting, of preparation. But then Father God is going to, whatever that sounds like, whatever that looks like, it's just the appointed time. It'll be the appointed time, and the harvest will begin to come in. It's just because it's time. So, so the age that's coming, okay? I'm not going to give it a title because God hasn't given me a title. So I know one age is ending and another age is beginning, okay? And I do believe, like I shared with you before, that a lot of this lines up with Bob Jones' 100-year vision. I do believe that vision is relevant for us today, and it's something to look at, it's something to ponder, it's something to pray into. I feel like there's just definitely something for us to glean from it. And basically, Bob Jones saw to the year 2060 that in the year from the 2050 to 60, in that decade, the manifested sons would be in the earth, walking in the earth, in the 2050s to 60, somewhere around in there. And when you look back over the decades of what God showed him, that God would be doing in the decades from the 40s, like the healing movement, the teaching, the charismatic renewal, the prophetic being restored, the manifestations of glory from 2000 to 2010. And we're right now, we're in the decade of what he called, what God told him, the decade that we're in now from 2011 to 2020 is called the faith of God. So in this decade, it's the underlying theme of what God will be doing in this decade will be concerning the faith of God. Or, you know, and so I would encourage you just to go look in the scriptures about faith, where it comes from, that faith is a spiritual thing, that you were given a measure of faith when you got saved. God is going to take us from faith to faith. Faith is a gift of the Spirit. So faith is a spiritual thing, and so faith has come from God. And so and Jesus is a picture of that fullness of faith, because then it says, you know, have God's faith. In the Greek, it literally says have God's faith. It got translated have faith in God. But in the Greek, it literally says have God's faith, then speak to the mountain and tell it to be cast into the sea. Okay? So this is the faith that we need to be after, that we need to be, it's... And when I realized that faith has come from God, that it's something of his that he has given to me, it allowed me to enter into a deeper place of rest, to let go of the fleshly me striving and trying to make my pray harder, pray longer, read more, do whatever. It totally removed the burden of that off of me so that I could fully enter into a deeper place of rest and allow his faith to come forth, the measure that he's given to me, and just allow that faith to come forth and to do what it can do and to do to accomplish and do what he wants for it to do. So really, really, the age to come, that would be more what I would want to focus on, because I believe a lot of it from what God has spoken to me is there's a seed that's been sown in each and every one of us, all right? The seeds of the kingdom have been sown, all right? When you go and read the parable of the sower, and you read all the different conditions of the heart, the cares of this world, all the things that can rob us of that seed, right? So in every season, I'm telling you, every season that we're in, we have the potential to lose the seed, okay? We have to make the choice. So even now, as we begin to hear the message of eternal life, immortality, okay? If you were, some of you that weren't here, I'm just gonna back up to December. I shared this message in December, where I took you through the scripture, and there is nothing in the scripture that says that we have to die. We've been given eternal life, and if all things are possible for those that believe, I'm just gonna leave it at that. It's up on the website if you want to go listen to it. It's allthingsrestored.org. It's called Death Has Been Defeated. Okay? So I take you through the scriptures and I show you that death is the fruit of sin. And when sin is dealt with, there is no more death because we've been born of God. And those that are born of God sin not. And that's why we've been focusing on the soul being restored, because that's where the sin is at. Okay? So when the soul enters into rest, there will be no more sin and there will be no more fruit of that thing coming forth. Right? It'll be the fruit of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. It'll be His fruit, which bears life, which gives life. So this age that we're entering into, we've already got to meet some of the forerunners, the pioneers, like Virginia shared last week about the guy Kirby from Sri Lanka that I'm just going to share it again for those of you that weren't here. We put her teaching up as well. If you want to go on the website, it's called Maturation and Dominion, and it's some of the stuff that Virginia got while she was over there for a week with the guy Kirby from Sri Lanka. The guy has learned how to eat on the fruit of the Spirit, okay? He's learned how to receive life from the fruit of the Spirit, and he's only eaten 7 times in 10 months. So what's possible? Really? That's what we need to be asking ourselves. Because for me, that all things restored that's on the front door out there, that's where it started for me. Because it says, if you can, all things are possible for those who believe. And that's where I started. And I said, Father, what are all things? Because you said that they're possible, so I want to know what that is so that I can know what to believe for, so that that thing can manifest in my life. And the only reason it's not manifesting is because I don't know what all things are. And it doesn't have anything to do with cars and houses and natural things. It's about the Spirit. It's about the things of the kingdom of heaven. Okay? That's what God is wanting us to catch. It's about heaven. It's not about this earthly temporal realm. We're supposed to be living out of the heavens and coming into the earth and bringing the dominion, authority, and power that God has given to us as sons into the earth to restore creation so that His creation can be restored as it was in the beginning. That's where this is going. So Father, again, is going to be raising up forerunners and pioneers that are going to begin to preach a message of the gospel of the kingdom about what it means to be a son, the eternal life, some of the things that we've already got to hear. But that is in the age that's coming, the days ahead and the generations that are coming. Okay? And just, and like I said, every one of you, hopefully everyone in here has been born again. And if you haven't, then we can take care of that if you want to. But if you've been born again, then the door is open. The invitation is for every person that calls Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior. So ultimately, it comes down to a choice. No matter what, it's going to come down to a choice. Do you want this or not? Or are you going to judge it? That's the other tricky part. And that's why I've said time and time again, when we hear things that are new, that we've never heard before, this is part of us maturing in Him, maturing in the things of the Spirit by the gift of discernment, by the discerning of spirits, by testing those things, that truth has a sound and a resonance. And I don't know if you've kind of discerned that when you hear truth and it starts buzzing inside of you. It's like you know that thing is true, what you just heard, you know? You've got to begin to discern to know if that's truth or not. And out of your own relationship with God, begin to take these things to the Father and begin to ask Him about these things so that He can reveal them to you. And you will. The point is, the days are over. Okay, there's no pulpit up here. And I'm not the guy that's going to be standing between you and God. He wants to speak to you. So here's your homework. Go get with Him and let Him reveal to you the mysteries that He wants to reveal to you. The mystery of Christ in you. Let Him begin to reveal those mysteries to you because that's what He wants to do. So that's where this is going. So I want to go back because I've been stuck on the forerunner thing for a while and I just wrote some of the forerunners down. Okay? Now you've got to remember, you've got to realize. Let's just start These things that we take for granted today, men and women have lost their life over. Blood has been shed over the truth that is normal, that is what's everyday, what we would call everyday, our part of our everyday walk with God, that men and women have paid the high price for that truth to be released into the body. Okay? So obviously one of the first ones, now, you know, this is my opinion here, but I believe Joan of Arc was really the beginning of the Reformation. There's nothing that you could really find scripturally, obviously, but I really believe that Joan of Arc was the beginning of the Reformation because God raised up a peasant girl that was 16 years old who the Dauphin or the king of France, who was the rightful king of France, but because England was in France, he couldn't sit on the throne, and he was the rightful heir to the throne of France. God gave her such favor and made a way for her to go before the king, a peasant girl that couldn't read or write, who apparently was having angelic encounters, what we would call angelic encounters, okay? And God opens the door and gives her favor for her to go before the king, and he gives her the sword of France to go and drive the English out of France. If you've never read the story of Joan of Arc, she's a good one to read. But I really believe, in my opinion, that she was the beginning of the Reformation because she was about 50 years before Luther. She was in the 1400s. Luther posted the thesis on the door in 1515. Okay? So you got Luther. You've got Calvin, which that's kind of a mixed bag these days because you've got all the predestination doctrine of Calvinism and a lot of the stuff that's kind of, you know, anyways. So you've got Calvin. Then I found this guy today called Peter Chalcicky. I don't even know if I'm saying it right. He was from the Czech Republic, but apparently he was like the reformer and the forerunner for the Anabaptists. And the Anabaptists were the people that didn't agree with baptizing infants because it needs to be a conscious decision of faith. So they were the ones that were called the rebaptizers because they wanted people to consciously make a decision of faith and then they're going to baptize them. And they got persecuted just like the rest of them, okay? Just for wanting to baptize somebody in their older age. So then we're going to fast forward a little bit to our century because probably you're familiar with most of these people that I've written down, okay? Parham is what would be called the father of Pentecost, and I mentioned him before, but he's the one that caught the revelation of the baptism of the Spirit, and he was the one in the late 1800s, early 1900s that began to release the revelation of the baptism of the Spirit, who influenced William Seymour, who was the pastor leader of Azusa Street, okay? Then you fast forward a little bit, and you've got Kenneth Hagin, and he's called the father of the faith movement or the Word of Faith camp, Kenneth Hagin. If you've never read any of his stuff, I would encourage you to read it. But God raised him up to release the revelation of faith. And it's definitely, if it's not in your foundations, you need to take the time and get that in your foundation, okay? back in the 80s, The prophetic was beginning to be restored. Rick Joyner and Bill Hammond were two of the key guys, along with you've got Jim Gall, Bob Jones, Paul Kane. I forget all the names, but they were called the Kansas City Prophets, which was also about the time that Mike Bickle showed up in Kansas City and God began to birth in him the bridal paradigm and the revelation of the bride and intercession. And Graham Cook. Now, this is a cool story with Graham Cook. He has many stories, but this is one that's a good one to share. He's in the UK, and so when God was restoring the prophetic, he was over there, and he began to do courses or classes or whatever, teaching about the prophetic. Well, these handful of ministers kept showing up and were being very antagonistic, and he was getting very upset about it. And he was like, "Lord, can you have them leave, please?" And the Lord gives him a vision. I think it was a vision or a dream, after he was kind of complaining about these guys and how antagonistic they were being towards what he was doing. And the Lord showed him a vision of the David statue and Michelangelo just chiseling on that statue. And he said, that's what those guys are doing for you. God showed him that he was using those men to refine him and to mold him and to shape him into the voice and into the man and the character that God wanted him to be. And without them, he wasn't going to get there. He had to have them. They had to be in his life. Okay? So, if you're going to forerun in anything, I'm just making you aware. Okay? Don't be caught off guard when the grain is not going your way. That grain can be prickly. So then you got the kingdom revelation. I'm going to go ahead and give props to Miles Monroe. Okay? Miles Monroe, we would probably say Bill Johnson would be the other guy that would be some of the ones that we would be familiar with that have been releasing the kingdom revelation, the revelation of the kingdom. And then the other two that I wanted to, that I felt like are relevant, that we've all got to encounter, is Jason Westerfield and Ian Clayton, and how they're forerunners in what it means to be a son. And I really believe that Jason is a first fruit of what a son is to look like. And I mean, I've told him that, and I felt like the Lord showed me that he is a first fruit of what a manifested son is going to look like. That he's getting to run into some stuff to let the rest of us know that that's possible. And that's what it all comes back to. All things are possible, right? I want to know what those things are because I want them, because they're mine. That's what Christ died to give me back, and I want my stuff. I want to know the reality of those things, okay? So the age that is coming, it's like you've heard us say before, that God has raised us up to be forerunners in this thing, to be pioneers and forerunners in the message of sonship, of living in the reality of the kingdom of heaven, of what are those. It says in the scripture, I just read it, that we've been seated in the heavenly places. So even right now, you're in two places at once. Right now, you and your spirit are somewhere seated in the heavenly places. So my only question to you is, why aren't you seeing where you're seated? Because you can. And like what we did tonight, becoming childlike, those are the ones that are going to enter the kingdom. When we become like a child, I mean, it's in the Bible. It says the children will enter the kingdom of heaven. And so as adults, that's our problem. Because we've forgotten what it means to be a child sometimes. Because we know too much, or we think we know too much, or we think we know something. But I'm here to tell you that when you begin to encounter the things of the kingdom and God begins to open up the things of heaven to you, you will suddenly realize how little you do know. And so I will be the first to confess, as he's opened up more and more stuff, it's just made me realize that I don't have a clue and I don't know hardly anything in the whole scheme of things. Okay? So in the ages to come, in the generations to come, in this transitional place that we're in right now, so I'm just, if you want to say I'm prophesying, declaring, whatever, but there's going to be a harvest that's coming at the end of this age. And then as we transition into this next age that we're transitioning into, you know, it's going to be a forerunner message of eternal life, of what it means to be a son. Translation is going to be normal. Okay? Translation. Think about the things that we've already heard about. Translation, this guy Kirby that doesn't have to eat, he's learned how to live off the life of Christ, off the word of God, and the fruit of the Spirit has sustained him. Okay? So these are the people I'm looking for. I'm looking for people that are running in stuff, that are manifesting the all things that are possible, because I'm going to discern by the Spirit if that's God, and if it's of God, I'm going for it, because that's what I'm after and that's what I want. And I'm not going to be afraid of what it is. That's the choice that you've got to make. Are you going to let fear rule over you and keep you from coming into the fullness of what God wants you to come into? It simply comes down to that choice. We're either going to let fear rule over us, or we're going to trust in the fact and the knowledge of Holy Spirit within us. We've been given the Spirit of truth, and God is not going to deceive us. We've got to trust God that He's got us, that He's leading us along this path, that He's directing our steps. I mean, think about all the scriptures that we quote. That's a good one. God is ordering my steps, ordaining my steps. Oh, I suddenly got exposed to this guy that doesn't eat. No, that's of the devil. God is ordering my steps. I mean, that's what we do. If He's really ordering our steps and He's exposing us to things that we haven't heard or seen or know of, we've got to know by the Spirit that it's God, that this is real, this is Him. And He wants you to get it. He wants to give that to you. He wants you to manifest that thing. He wants you to release the reality of that in and around your life. Okay? So that's where this is going. That's the age that is coming. It's an age of, like Sid Roth, I'm naturally supernatural. Okay, well, here it comes. Because it's way beyond healing the sick, raising the dead, cleansing the leper. Those are the elementary things when you read in Hebrews. It says that those are the elementary things, right? I mean, I'm not even doing the elementary things 100% yet. Okay? I know where I am and I know where I'm not. But those are still the elementary things. And it says, let's don't lay those again. Let's don't go there again. And that's why I said earlier, if you don't have faith in your foundation, you need to go back and let God work that faith in you and establish that in your foundation, because it's an elementary thing that you need for where you're going. Okay? But it says, let us not again lay those elementary things, but let us go on unto perfection or maturity. Okay? So that would be the other part of this age that we're coming into, is to know the reality of what it means to be a mature son. And perfection is not about what we've heard preached. Okay? Perfection is maturity. And a mature son, just go ponder that verse in 1 John. It says, those that are born of God sin not. Go sit on that verse until God speaks to you about that verse, so that you can realize that you've been born of God. And it says, those born of God sin not. So what's the problem? What do I need to know that I don't know, so that I can understand, so that I can grow and mature in Him and not be stuck? So that would be the other part, is that we're going to understand more and more what it means to be a mature son in Father's house and in His kingdom. Okay? So, I think that's the gist of it, really. Is to really just declare, and I'm going to pray into it here at the end, but it's just to declare for all of us to realize, to discern the times and seasons. And I like what Jesus said in Mark. I think it's in Mark. He says, what I say to you, I say to all. What did He say? Watch. What I say to you, I say to all. Watch. So we've got to discern. We've got to begin to just discern more and more the times and seasons and the generation that we're in, so that we can walk in the fullness of what God is birthing in this generation. Because I'm telling you, there are believers and Christians that won't be able to come simply because they choose not to. For whatever reason, you know, whether it's fear, whether it's unbelief, but the choice is it there. That choice is in their power. It's in their control to choose. You know, We've been given, Christ has given us this. This is what he died to give us, the reality of these things. And thank God we're in the generation that's going to know these things, because we continue to say yes. We continue to just walk this out with him so that he can reveal these things to us. So, so we're transitioning from one age to another. And so very soon, we're going to begin to see this billion soul harvest beginning to come in. It's going to be a global thing. And I shared a couple weeks ago that William Seymour prophesied it on the West Coast. Charles Parham prophesied it on the East Coast. And then in 1913, I think that was about 4 or 5 years later, Maria Woodworth Eder prophesied the same thing at Stone Church in Chicago, that in 100 years that God would do this again, but it would be on a grander scale than what we've ever seen or imagined. And that would be the harvest that's coming at the end of this age. Okay? And so the other point of this whole us understanding and simply seeing an age as a number of generations, a certain amount, you know, I'm just going to say, just to make it easier for right now, because it's kind of what I'm thinking, that an age would represent somewhere between 10 and 14 generations. And so for us to break loose from the things that we've been taught, because how many of us have heard that scripture in Ephesians, in the age to come, when we get to heaven, you know, then we'll get to see those riches when we're in heaven. It's always that eternal. It is an eternal gospel, right? But it's an eternal gospel now, today, not. Yeah, I mean, I've got to give. Who was it? Justin Abraham. I'm going to give him credit because he's the one that I heard say this. Death is not the door into heaven. Jesus is. Okay, so just go ponder that one for a while. Think about all the teachings that we've heard about death and how we've glorified death to get to heaven. We've been more obsessed with death than we've been obsessed with the life that we've been given. And it's time for us to obsess with life. It's time for us to be just consumed with life, because that's what we've been given in Christ. That life is in you. It says in the Bible that the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells within you and even gives life to your mortal body now. Not when you die, now, today. That same power that raised him from the dead is in you, and that Spirit that is in you can give you life now. So we've got to learn how to appropriate that. We've got to learn how to access that. We've got to learn how to manifest and to release the fullness of what God wants us to release. Okay? Amen. I'm just going to pray into this whole transition of the ages thing. So, Father, I thank you, Father, for the day that we're living in, for this generation, and, Father, for transitioning from age to age, Father. And I thank you for the age that is coming. I thank you for the day that is dawning. And I thank you for the age that we're entering into. And I thank you, Father, for the harvest of the end of the age that we're transitioning out of, Father. And I bless that harvest tonight, Father. And I thank you for the harvest of the end of that age that is coming. And, Father, for the souls that are destined to be birthed into the kingdom of heaven. And we just speak to those souls and we call them forth now. And we just agree with heaven, Father, for the billion soul harvest to come in, for the billion soul harvest, Father, to be birthed into the kingdom of heaven. And we just thank you, Father, for the harvest of the end of the age, and Father, for the age that we're entering into, Father, the age of the manifestation of the sons of God, Father, the age that is going to bring about the fullness of Christ, Father, in a remnant, in a group of people in the earth that are going to walk and to manifest the fullness of all that we've been given in Christ Jesus. And I just thank you, Father, for the eternal gospel that you've given to us, Father, and to more and more understand, Father, in the truth of this gospel by the Spirit, Father, and out of revelation, knowledge and understanding and wisdom, Father, to know, Father, this gospel that you've given to us in Christ Jesus, and to see it more clearly, Father, and to proclaim it, Father, from the rooftops, to declare the truth, Father, and to speak and to declare, Father, the reality of these things. And so I just thank you, Father, for the message of eternal life, Father. I thank you for the message, Father, that we don't have to die. I thank you for the truth, Father, for the knowledge knowledge of these things, Father. I thank you, Father, Lord, to learn how to live on a higher source, Father, to learn how to live and to receive life and sustenance from out of your presence, from out of you within us, Father, and to know and to understand more and more, Father, how to receive sustenance and to draw life, the life of Christ that is within us, Father. I just thank you, Father, for the reality of these things coming forth, Father, and to understand more and more the elementary things of the kingdom. And Father, to continue to grow and to mature, Father, into that place of perfection as a son, as a mature son, Father, to begin to walk and to bear fruit, Father, and to bring forth fruit and the substance of the things of the kingdom, Father, that you have for each and every one of us to bring forth. Father, I thank you for the destiny and the mandate that is sitting in this room. Father, I thank you for the purposes that is sitting in this room, Father. I thank you for each and every life that is sitting in this room, Father, for the possibilities. Father, for what is possible, Father, with each and every person that is here tonight. And I just thank you, Father, and I even call forth those possibilities to begin to come forth. Father, I call forth all things within each and every person, Father. I call forth, Father, the reality of all things in each and every one of us tonight, Father, to begin to understand, Father, measure upon measure, precept upon precept, what those things are so that we can fully come into the reality of Christ within us, the hope of glory, and to take our place as sons in the heavens to sit, to rule and to reign, to govern and to occupy the land. Father, I thank you for the inheritance that you have for each and every one of us, Father, and even tonight, Father, to begin to petition and to begin to ask you for our inheritance, Father, to receive our inheritance, our rightful inheritance, Father, that you have destined for each and every one of us. And so I thank you for our inheritance, Father. I thank you for, Father, the land that you have given to us to occupy and to steward in the heavenly places, Father. Father, and for revealing the reality of those things, Father, to each and every one of us, Father. And I thank you, Father, that for those that have yet to come into this place, Father, for them to receive, Father, every good thing, every seed that has been sown in this place, Father, I thank you that, Father, every person that comes in here, Father, will be able to receive that seed, Father, in their heart, and for that seed to come forth and to bear fruit in them, Father. And I just thank you, Father, for each and every one that you will bring in this place, Father, to wake them up as a son, to activate that seed within them, Father, and for that seed to begin to grow and to mature, to germinate and to bear fruit, Father, to bear the fruit of the seed of the kingdom, Father, the fruit of the kingdom to come forth in this place through each and every one of us. And so I just thank you, Father. And Father, again, I bless the forerunners that you're raising up in this generation. Father, we bless them right now in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, Father, for the pioneers, the reformers, the forerunners. Father, everyone that you're raising up to shake, everyone that you're raising up, Father, to bring transformation, to bring reformation, Father, in every facet of society and culture. Father, we just plead the blood of Jesus over them tonight, Father. And we just ask that you would surround them, Father, with people that would edify them, that would encourage them, that would agree with them, that would run with them. We just bless them, Father. We just bless the forerunners, Father. We bless the forerunners in the age that is coming, Father. We bless the men and women, Father, that will be forerunning in this age that is dawning, Father. We bless them, Father, to fulfill every good thing that you've purposed for them to accomplish and do, Father, in the generations that are coming. And we bless them, Father, and we plead the blood of Jesus over them, Father. And we thank you, Father, that they will fulfill and accomplish everything in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, they will fulfill, that they will release the fullness of everything that you have destined for them to release in your creation, Father. And so we bless them, and we just thank you, Father, for raising them up, and Father, for every truth, for every precept, for every revelation, for everything that they will release and everything that they will accomplish, Father, for your name, for your glory and honor, Father. We just bless them and just thank you, Father, for them. That we would find them, Father, that we would see them, that we would recognize them and know them by the Spirit. And I thank you, Father, for seeing them more and more, Father, for discerning, Father, for just knowing they're on the scene and knowing that, Father, that they're bringing forth, Father, the message that you've birthed within them, the truth and the thing that is burning within them to release and to sow and to impart that thing, Father, into your creation. And so we just thank you, Father, for every good seed that is to be brought forth in this age. We thank you, Father, for the seed of this age. We thank you, Father, for the truth and for the seed of this age. And we bless that seed right now. and we command it to bear fruit. We command it to bring forth a harvest of the kingdom of heaven. And we just bless that seed that is going to be sown in this age that is coming. And we just thank you, Father, for that seed. And we bless it. And we just thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing and for all that you're doing, Father, and for getting to see and to know, Father, little by little, more and more, Father, all that you're doing and all that you desire to do, Father, in this generation and in this day. We just thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We just say yes. We just say yes to you, Father. Father, for your perfect will for each and every one of us, Father, we just say yes to your perfect will, Father. And that, Father, that there would just be a resounding yes in our heart, Father. In any place where there's fear or unbelief, Father, I pray tonight that it would have got washed and overcome by the love that was in this place, Father. By your love that was made manifest tonight, Father, I pray that it would have pushed out, that it would have displaced, Father, any and all fear and any unbelief, Father, that would hinder us from saying yes to you. That would hinder us, Father, that would resist Christ within us, that would resist, Father, Lord, that ability for us to continue to walk this out with you and to move forward, to advance and to grow in the reality of the things of heaven and all that you have for us. And so I just thank you, Father, and I just give you praise and glory and honor, and I bless you. And I just thank you, Father. Thank you for the gift of your Son. Father, thank you for sending your Son, Father, to come and to remove the curse of sin and death from off of your creation, Father, once and for all, that he died so that we wouldn't have to. And so, Father, I thank you for life. I thank you for giving us life through the death and resurrection of your Son and giving us the guarantee and the promise of your Spirit, Father, to lead and to guide us, to comfort us, to teach us, and to bring us into the reality of all truth. And so we just thank you, Father, for your Spirit. We thank you for your Son. We thank you, Father, for the covenant that you've made with us, Father, and we just bless you and just thank you, Father, that we would understand more and more, Father, the benefit, the fullness of the covenant that you've made with us in Christ, Father, that we would know this covenant, Father, that we would understand this covenant and that we would walk in the reality of this covenant, Father, that we would live in the reality of this covenant that you've made with us, Father, by the death and resurrection, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So we just thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I think I gotta toot my horn.